A long time ago in a CCE class far, far away, the teacher was talking about the sacraments, and she asked the students if they knew what Jesus taught about the sacraments. So she said, "Does anyone know what Jesus taught us about the sacrament of baptism?" Mary sat and raised her hand and says, "I know. Jesus said, 'You shall go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.'" And the teacher said, "Excellent job. You're such a good listener." And then she asked, "Does anybody know what our Lord taught about the sacrament of the Eucharist?" Johnny raises his hand and says, "I know. Jesus said, 'Take this, all of you, and eat it, for this is my body.'" Teacher said, "You guys are such good listeners. Does anyone know what Jesus taught about the sacrament of marriage?" The little student in the front says, "I know. Jesus says, 'Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.'" And that student grew up and became a priest. The sacrament of marriage is awesome. It's amazing. It's not something that we should be ashamed of. It's not something that we should hang our head at. The sacrament of marriage is a wonderful, marvelous gift that our God gave us from the beginning of time when God created man and woman. In the story that we heard from Genesis, He desired that man and woman be one, that they complement each other, that they be fertile and multiply and fill the earth. And the gift of marriage is one that is necessary for our society. It's necessary for our culture. And my friends, the state of marriage is under a constant attack in our culture and in our society. We are trying, and we have tried, to change the definition of marriage. Sometimes it's done formally, like the Supreme Court's decision this summer about deciding and changing the definition of marriage. But the church continues to stand forth that a marriage belongs one man, one woman for the rest of their lives. The other attack that's so critical to our culture, our society, to our understanding of the institution of marriage is the issue of permanence. Like, God said that I desire that these two become one, that man and woman join together for the rest of their lives. It's sad. It's tremendously sad that our culture and in our society, the institution of marriage is under attack. Almost half of the marriages, half of the weddings now in the United States end in divorce. That means when a man and a woman stand before God, stand before each other and say, "I promise to be true to you for the rest of my life. I promise to love and honor you every day." They have a little bit better than a coin flip's chance of making that marriage work until God calls one of them home to heaven. I was doing some research on marriages and on weddings. I was appalled that there's jewelry stores now that rent wedding rings. They say to couples, "Look, you don't have to bother, you don't have to worry about paying for the whole thing. Just rent it until you don't need it anymore and bring it back." Okay, the fact that our culture and our society thinks that's okay is appalling and it's atrocious. And that's the reason why so many marriages are failing. That's the reason why the definition of marriage is coming into question, is because we have lost the understanding of how beautiful and amazing and awesome the gift of marriage is. Of a man and a woman standing before God and their family and their friends and each other and saying, "I am going to love you with all my heart. I'm going to give everything that I have to you because I love you." We need to pray that the institution of marriage may prevail against all of these attacks. We need to heed the words of our Lord and the gospel today, that God has joined man and woman together in this bond of love and nothing can overcome it. Now, with that said, Jesus says in the gospel, he's pretty stern about why divorce is not right. There are times when a divorce is necessary, all right? There are times when a marriage needs to stop because of the abuse, because of the unhealthiness of the relationships. But the church gives us hope. The church gives us hope because we have the process of annulment. And recently, Pope Francis has come out and said, we're going to streamline the annulment process so that people don't have to wait 9 months to 2 years to get an annulment. But that was never the desire of God when He created marriage. He didn't want divorce to happen. He didn't want there to be annulments. Like, that's not what God created marriage to be. And if you've had to go through a divorce, either in your own marriage, or maybe you saw your parents get divorced, I'm sorry that it's so painful. I'm sorry that you had to go through so much in that broken marriage. But that's not the desire of God. That's not what He wanted. And so what we need to do is we need to ask God to continue to bless those couples that get married, that marriages are strengthened, that they have the hope and the perseverance and the peace and their love and their lives, so that their marriage may continue. Holy marriages are awesome things, and our church and our world doesn't have near enough of them. And so I ask you, please, in joining me in praying for an increase in holy marriages, that when men and women get married, that they may allow God into that relationship, that God be the foundation for their love so that they can love each other the way that our God loves us. Have you ever been to a wedding, and this is always very cool to me, like when the bride walks in and everybody's like, oh, she looks so beautiful. And she does. She looks amazing. And what the wedding does for us when we see a wedding is it gives us a little glimpse of what God's love for us is like. That when God looks at us, we are His beautiful children. And when a man and a woman stand before God and the church and each other and profess their love, we're inspired by it. Because there's this unconditional love that man and woman are saying to each other. I'm going to love you in good times and in bad. I'm going to love you in sickness and in health. And we pray, we need to pray that marriages may continue to be strengthened by this wonderful love that God has given us. By this wonderful love that we come to know in the sacrament of marriage. We also need to pray that the attacks against marriage may not cripple the wonderful institution of marriage, because it is a beautiful gift. And holy marriages are awesome, and they inspire so many people. When I look at couples who have had to go through so much in their marriage and in their relationship, I'm inspired. I also say, there's no way I could ever be married. Like, because it's challenging, guys. It's so hard. And those of you who are in marriages and have gone through, you know how hard it is to stay married, to be married, to love each other unconditionally with that love that God has placed in your hearts and in your marriages. So I thank you for the witness that you are in your holy marriage. And I ask you to continue to share that love and that light with those around you, because our world needs to see holy marriages. The other reason that marriages are so vitally important is through the ministry that I do. I'm the director of vocations, which means my job is I get to go out and I get to talk to people about how much our church needs priests, brothers, sisters, and nuns to serve the church. And the data is showing that vocations to priesthood and religious life are coming from families with strong marriages. They're coming from families that they live in with their mom and their dad, and they come to church and they're strengthened by the love and the example that they see. So I ask you, please, in joining me in praying for a strengthening of marriages, because I can't find young men and women to come and give their lives and commitments to God if they haven't seen what commitment looks like in a marriage. And so I ask your help too in my job as vocation director, that you pray for men and women to come from these strong families with strong marriages, that you help join me in praying that men and women may answer the call to serve the Lord. Because I've been a priest now for 6.5 years, and it's awesome. I can't think of anything I love more than being a priest of Jesus Christ. And I'd ask you, please, in helping me promote vocations in your own homes, in your own families, by talking to your sons and your daughters, your grandsons, your granddaughters, maybe your nieces and nephews about possibly giving their lives in service to God. Because we need priests, we need brothers, we need sisters, we need nuns to continue proclaiming the work of God throughout the church. So I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your supports for vocations. And as we continue our prayers today, we pray for a strengthening of marriages. We pray that men and women may live out those marital promises that they made on the day that they got married, that they live the vows that they promised to take, to love each other with their whole heart. And we also pray for an increase in vocations to priesthood and the consecrated life, that many men and women may lay down their lives to serve our God. May the Lord Jesus continue to bless us in whatever vocation He's called us to, that we may serve Him with our hearts, and that we may love one another and love our God the way that He loves us.